Welcome back to Brathstack. Sanka Price with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. 4341790 is the number to contact us at. Contact us here. And 266-4862 is the WhatsApp number. A number of you have been calling our switchboard asking for the hotline number at the Ministry of Education. And this is for, if the children are need some sort of counseling, or they're acting up, or there's some advice that you need with your children. The number to call is 535-0798. 535-0798, and that's the Ministry of Education. It's their hotline. And this is to give you any advice you need on some of the challenges you may be having with your child at this time. We go right back to the phone lines, because as I said, we do have a full board of calls. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Greetings to you, Sanka.
Greetings to you as well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have one or two things to say. For example, we have the trade unions who has lost quite a lot of money in subscription, because they have quite thousands of people who are currently unemployed, right? So therefore, it's going to have a rippling effect on the credit unions, because credit unions will have to send home some of their staff, you know? And it's true that all of those people may not be members, right? And there's nothing that we can do about it. That's one thing that I have to say, right, about the subscriptions for the credit, for the trade union movement.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is, our country have to pay its debts, and we can see a loss in revenue because we don't have any NAS coming in and the income tax coming in because of all those people that we have, all those people that were sent home, mm-hmm. right? You still got our bills to pay. Let's face reality. The same way we got to pay the utility bills and stuff like that. The households got to pay the utility bills. The government got to pay the bills too. So they ain't getting away from that. Right?
Mm-hmm. So you're making these statements in the context of a limited reopening of the economy.
Well, we have no... Yeah, because we have any control of that right now. Right? Because a lot of businesses ain't opening and stuff. But, you know... for example, you have the certain mechanics who want parts to fix vehicles and things like that, and the stores aren't opening that they can go and get a little bonnet or the clutch and the brakes to put in vehicles and things, and people still can't travel on the buses and the zetters and stuff, so the government could still give these people a little break, at least a little 4 hours for 2 days or something, so that people could get the little parts so the mechanics could fix up these things for the people. It ain't easy. Suppose you're on the road and you clutch and you break down, now what's going to happen to you? 12 o'clock in the night. You somewhere or the other.
Well, if you're on the road at 12 o'clock, you had to be an essential worker, or not, you're not supposed to be on the road.
Essential worker. Suppose that ain't happen now, what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. You got to think about all these things.
Yeah,
these are serious things. The next thing, too, that I got to say, my final point, in relation to the elderly, those people that are in the 90s and the 80s, they can use the electoral list and check it out to make sure that these people are comfortable and everything is okay with them, because they got one or two people out there who are not everything in all right with them, right? And they need a little food hamper and stuff like that. And they're trying to reach you, right? And they can't get through and that type of thing. A lot of people in those age groups, you know, really, really hurting. And I believe that the constituency offices could at least check out that particular age group and see if they're okay and if they need any help and stuff like that. They can't put all the weight on you.
Yeah, fair enough. In fact, I do know that certainly a number of MPs have been calling the elderly constituents and checking on their welfare, because I am aware that Arthur Holder called a number of people, for example, in St. Michael Central, his constituency, and... But I heard that a few other MPs also have been doing this, and some of them, in fact, I think we saw in Darweir, St. Philip South, he actually gave out hampers to some of the needy people in his constituency. But I know that some MPs are out there doing that. How widespread it is, I don't know. But I do know that some MPs are engaged in that. So yes, using the electoral list through the constituency offices would be helpful, so we can find out exactly what's happening to our elderly in particular. Thank you very much for your contribution. Let's go to another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Sander. I heard you talking about national insurance. Paying the national insurance. I paid national insurance for a long time, self-employed. And I had an operation about 2 years ago, and I never get a thing. They stand back and tell me they can't pay me. So I know how that works, you know.
Well, sir, that's a specific incident, and I can't really comment on that. I can only tell you.
I hear them say that you sick benefit. I never get money. I had 6 weeks home.
Did you check? As people say, check behind it.
They send me a letter and tell me they can't pay me.
And they would have explained why.
I pay my contributions and it's
No. I heard you say so already. Did they explain why they did not pay you?
No, they didn't explain. They say I'm not entitled, that's all they say.
And you didn't go and find out why you're not entitled?
But this is what I never went anywhere.
But you make it sport,
I still got a letter on me all it though.
Well, I have no doubt, because they will hold a letter too. Because if I'm paying national insurance, it's like you're paying private health insurance.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get any procedure done, any doctor's visit and whatnot, you put in a claim. Sometimes they honor the claim and sometimes they don't honor the claim. But what they always do is they explain why. So if the national insurance, as you're saying, refuse to pay, in your case, that sickness benefit, they have to explain why. And if they did not explain why in the correspondence, it is your right to go and ask them why. They need to tell you. So I find that, you know, you really should have followed that up.
I still got your letter on. They have a letter written.
That means you really should still go and follow it up. Even though the time may have passed, that's not the point. The point is that you pay your contributions, and one of the benefits is that if there's employment, if they're injured on the job, and if you got sick on the job, if it's related, then they should compensate you in some form or fashion, because you're losing income. So unless your sickness was not job related, but then if it was not, and according to the contract that you have with the NAS,
it would have to be job related, because if you're working and something happened and you had to get operation, it's still job related where I'm concerned.
Well, where you're concerned, they may have a different criteria put in place, and that is why it's important that they explain to you why.
Okay.
So, what you're asking isn't you're not being impertinent or anything like that. You have a right to find out why.
Okay.
You should. You take the letter and you find out. I mean, as I said, time may have passed now, but that's not the point, because there's a future, and you need to find out why. They just can't say that, you know, they're not doing this, they're not compensating you in any way for it. I don't explain it. So they need to explain why. Okay? All right. Got another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes, sir. How are you today?
Well, just cool. Hang out, looking out, keeping free, staying free, staying in.
Yeah.
On that question of national insurance, I didn't call you that, but I think I heard a lady from the NAS last week call and explain that situation. I believe we should call back on them for a further explanation, because what I've heard is not what the gentleman is claiming in terms of sick benefits. But I know that there was an amendment to the National Insurance Bill under a former Prime Minister, Owen Arthur, which several changes were made, including the contributions for for self-employed people. I personally believe that that needs to be looked at now, because too many people are complaining of the same thing in relation to people. Self-employed people are making contributions for non-employment for unemployment benefit. They're not getting it. It turns out that they're heading towards what is known as a pension. So I think we need to have a clear clarification on what is the true position on the amendment to the National Insurance Act that was done under former Prime Minister Barbados at a time. Perhaps it was right then, but it cannot be right now. Because a lot of people in Barbados have centered themselves around self-employed people, entrepreneurs, but it is not fair for people to be making contributions to national insurance only to be told that they're making contributions towards the pension. And some people are extremely young, some people are 56, some people are 48, and well, that is, who've gone into self-employment and are making a registered for self-employed, but not understanding fully that the sick benefits and the injury benefits are not there, and that all they'll be contributing to, for what I've been listening to, is the pension scheme. So I hope that somebody from the National Insurance would come and explain it fully, that some arrangements we made for this government or the chairman to relook at that amendment. That amendment has suffered. A lot of Barbadians, both male and female, are suffering because of that insurance amendment that was carried out back on a former regime of a former Prime Minister Barbados. I didn't call you on that, though, but I would hope that this appeal would make national insurance come out and deal with this matter, because too many people have been confronted with this situation now that we've got COVID-19. Mr. Price. Hello.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
You are well read, and we work for well read people. We like to search for news, and we love to understand exactly that. Well, the first sometimes are extremely important to us. I wonder if we will continue. Now, I have watched 3 documentaries so far over the last, 36 hours. And these documentaries have pointed directly to the Communist Party of China being involved in what could be considered as biological warfare. And as a result of this, the investigations of COVID stretch as far back as 2018. And there have been several points of proof of who has been responsible for this involvement and this pandemic, which we then recognized was stolen Wuhan, and the doctor who suffered as a result of exposing the situation. But having followed this last investigation now, it points directly at China, that China, being a world power, seeking to introduce this situation, which would enable them now to have the right stock, the vaccine. And which for me, that again, this is a tremendous amount of money that will be going from China to back to China in terms of this. So I wonder what will be the outcome of this, if China will be punished at a world level for this situation of an experiment that went wrong. And proof, for people who have done a study to find out exactly the cause of the virus, and it's an extensive study. So I'm of the opinion that is also something that we have to understand, that Barbadians, part of this biological chemical warfare, are suffered, and millions of people around the world have suffered for a country who has introduced or still introducing this communist party tactics for supremacy of the world. And I believe this is something we have to look at. And I want you, when you get a chance, to follow the documentary or the documentaries out there that prove that China is guilty of this virus that has attacked the world. Also, this morning, I believe you would have seen the statement made by the captain of the Boris Becker, the captain of one of the tour ships who was in Caribbean for a period of time.
Yeah.
And you saw that, right?
Yeah.
Thanking Barbados for everything. Now, I know, hopefully, that we have suffered in this exercise. I know that most of those companies would probably see Barbados as a place of acceptance in terms of help at the time. Now, we have been told that all of us are in this together. Now, we know that Barbados, as part of CARICOM, has at least the rights, or should have the rights to certain things. I'm wondering if and when the old year god or the old war god and the new war come, if Barbados will still have the rights to be given a fair break in terms of what is due to them. For example, we spent our time in holding ships there for other countries. We made sure that we welcomed, even though there were question marks, and the captain said that in his speech. He also said that they'll be back, and the Barbados will be a beneficiary of whatever happens then. But my question is, since we are committed to Caribbean tourism system, will we have to pay a price now and then have to be taken the scraps when the time comes? Perhaps you can give me a little word on that.
Well, we should see. I really can't comment on that because I know very little about it. What I do, the impression I do get, and this has been indicated not only by Mr. Becker, but also by I think the tourism minister, or certainly I think Mr. Simmons, the tourism minister as well, that the work that Barbados did in trying to accommodate these cruise liners here, while majority of other countries just didn't want them around, that would redound to our benefit in the long term. But we shall see if that comes about. I really want to go back to deal with, well, not to deal with, to just touch a little on what you said related to the whole COVID-19, the coronavirus, and its origins, et cetera. There are a lot of conspiracies that are abound. I am not going to get into that. I don't think this radio station is appropriate to discuss these things because we are really not dealing. We're not sure what is factual from what is not. But there's certain questions that can be raised, and legitimately so. Like Wuhan, that's where it started. Shanghai and Beijing, just a few hundred miles in different directions away from Wuhan, and they were not terribly infected by the disease. And questions have been asked, why not? Questions have also been asked as to why this disease seems to target primarily the elderly. It seems like elderly and those who have comorbidities, diabetes, hypertension, that type of thing. It seems as if it's, quote unquote, designed to eliminate people who are vulnerable in a society. Whether or not, as I said, I don't like to go so much into these conspiracies, but when you sit back and you consider that this illness really affects primarily people who already vulnerable in whether it was for their health or because of their poverty, they have poor access to health care. It makes you wonder if it's, you know, if it's designed to eliminate some of that stress within a well-functioning society. But as I said, I try not to get into these conspiracy theories. I just like to stick to the facts as far as they are known. But a lot of questions are being raised, and I think they will continue to be raised as long as this epidemic continues to hold the sway it does. Because, I mean, it has put the entire world on pause. You know, it's something that I don't think that this is something that people only think about in a movie. But the entire world is on pause. And that is really, really frightening, especially for us here in Barbados, where we depend largely, our main foreign exchange earnings come from an industry that involves people traveling from all across the world coming to us. So if those countries can't get their acts together, can't get their act together, we have a problem, right? So we can, on the micro level, we can, you know, get our businesses going again. We can deal with the containing the disease here. We can take all the necessary precautions, but we still have to earn foreign exchange. So what are we going to do when the time comes for airline flights to resume? Will there be a rapid test available? You know, so that when those who are boarding the flight to Barbados, they will get some rapid tests before they leave their destination, or they'll get it when they get here. You know, one rapid test where you can take people's blood, a blood sample, and within a few minutes, it can show that you are free of the illness or not. What I'm saying, these are all sorts of post COVID issues that we have got to deal with. And so those who are setting policy and who are giving guidance to the country, all those leaders, they have a real struggle, because they have to deal with a lot of unknowns. Yet they have got to get their economies, their countries, starting to earn a living again. So it's a delicate balancing act, and it's not easy. It's, you know, it's easier to ask questions and to be provocative, but it's not a simple matter of finding a way to navigate this turbulent period. It really is not. Anyhow, we go to another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, I want to ask you something, because I can't understand. All the people that up on the phone are calling a lady every day, as a first-time caller, most of them people are self-employed, taxi drivers, all sort of things. They go up on the front line, they go up for everybody. I can't want to say smart. I put my green paper saying smart. And see a person passing me. And I got no table, my money, so I had to pay my bills anyway, because I know they can't do things a lot, though. And I got no food, I left my own stinks. I call all the mitigation places, and I think you phone ran off. People can come and get us and get that and all that. And then patients won't go and pay a bill. Them supposed to left home, thinking all about them going to pay a bill now. I didn't got money. I ain't got a cent. I paying national insurance, and I ain't got a cent yet. And I can't understand, we're running the domestic, the people like me, a domestic group of people you are and do same idea, guy. All them women out in the garden, what happened to them? I'll be paying every day, and they put them working over here, walking here and there, and then got money and all sorts of things. I'll be suffering, I'll be paying nothing insurance every single day. You think it's fair to people, maybe?
And you,
they're mad at me?
Right. You said that you put in your green paper.
Every since March.
Mm-hmm.
And I get sent yet, and this man no coming. And all them people that ain't working self-employed, they can't pay it. But if they could complain, must take a complaint to work on behalf of the people like gardeners and domestic. Mm-hmm. That's what them people always don't work.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of whether you're a gardener or domestic. It is a matter of whether...
Hold on.
The point I'm trying to make is it doesn't matter what category of work you're at. What matters is that you, assuming that you had the 52 weeks that were paid up, assuming that your employer has been paying the contributions, clearly yeah. you should have received some sort of relief.
By now.
So they sent out over 5,000 claims last benefit checks last week. So probably you may be in for the set this week. I don't know.
As your appointment thanks. I left one since March. I don't gonna get my hair. I'm gonna properly pay my thing bill. You only get to the government left on the water and did no pay my water and my aunt is a cell bill. And then now I try to country to open when the before Easter holidays, but I think open it's going out to the end of June. And I got no man, I got company. Then they call the
sir, let me just clarify the end of June thing. All they have done is that is the emergency powers, but we're dealing with the curfew. The curfew is supposed to come to an end on Monday. It's Monday or
so
Sunday?
Actually mean that.
It's on the third of May. Okay, what we're suggesting, because it's highly unlikely that the curfew will be lifted. I mean, the trend globally is that the curfew is not really lifted because everybody recognizes that the disease is still present within your borders and you really can't lift all the restrictions. But the suggestion is that there can be a gradual ease in restrictions to allow certain other categories of workers that were not before considered essential to also be out there working, because the recognition is that people like yourself are experiencing major financial pain by being unemployed.
And I'm going to really accept. Oh, let's like help us on things, man. Oh, yes, I'm calling people, they take a call, all these numbers, they take a call.
What about, you mentioned one point about the water bill, the fact that you don't have to pay the water bill.
But they pay me water bill in March,
mm-hmm.
when they come home. I pay my water bill, and I pay my cell bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn the light. Then I buy some food because Easter is coming up too. Because Easter was in April. Because we were supposed to go back to work after Easter, with the bank holiday, 15 or something, so, right? But then they extend it to the May now. And then no further, I extend it now to the thing. But if I get money, things out there, I'm no longer have to get it. So I don't know if it's Monday come or Tuesday come, next 3 days, if they can really start back work or not. I don't know. Otherwise, again, to June, no, I'm going to be suffering. But then about they can help me with some rice or sugar. I don't want that sugar. I'm just going to ask you.
All right, sir. All right. Just leave your number with the producer. So don't put on the phone. Just leave your number with the producer, and we will get back to you, okay? All right. We take another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Please stop listening to your radio. You can hear a little feedback. Just listen to the telephone.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Just saying, following up on what the gentleman said, I went and dropped my form since March 2, and the security guard at the NIS take the form for me and said they can post the card here. But I still have posted home a card. You believe that I should post from a check. And then anything after, but you're going to say you're going to post some card then for the company national insurance, then to stamp a card then to come back home to get a check. I believe that
is. But I don't think that's the system in operation at all. I think all you do is handing in the person who's handed in the forms, uh-huh. and they're trying to process the forms.
Okay. I'm going to wait still. Because I don't see logic in sending home a card with your postman, and then you got to go down to national insurance so then to send it back again. You know,
no.
I think when you send any form, I feel they should send a check, process your form and send a check.
That should be the case. Okay. Assuming that you do have the 52 weeks in place, that you also fill out the form correctly and whatnot, yeah?
Yeah.
And how has it been for you on the curfew?
Well, I just keep quiet, man, because I ain't that range of age group, so I just keep quiet.
What range of age group is that?
In your 50s. So if I got to go, I put on my mask and go for my designated day and come back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's it for me.
So you have a family and a household support, or you're just
only two people? Only 2 people here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I got six days, it's gonna last me till whenever, whatever it takes, maybe. It's gonna be hard, son. It's hard for people, you know.
I know.
Yeah, it's hard.
So you would really support a gradual reopening right now?
Yeah. I work in the hospitality field, so I know that I'm gonna be home for a longer time still.
Yeah.
You know, so I work in the hospitality field, so I know I'm gonna be home for a longer time still.
Mm-hmm.
No, but if you can still open, the hardware still open back free enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you open back construction, everybody can gallop on construction, so you can go walk out now again.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I believe still, for myself, I think that be just pick up the drift, you wear your mask and you stay at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do what you gotta do. But yeah. You never know how things will work out to be. I need authority for that idea. So.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling. And this person is asking, is the national insurance paying money in alphabetical order? If how far them is? As far as I know, they're not paying money in alphabetical order. They're just paying out the claims as they come into them. But you would appreciate there are thousands of claims that they're processing. And this is unprecedented thing for them to have to pay out so many claims at this time. Another person here they're wondering if sickness benefits are being paid. The last conversation that I had with the chairman of the National Insurance Scheme, which appeared in the story, saw him last week Monday. He made the point in that story that things like sickness benefits and other types of benefits will also be worked on as well. As you would appreciate, they would have fast-tracked the payment of unemployment benefits since so many people were home, as you can hear from the last two callers. So they have fast-tracked this, and they will be trying now to look at sickness benefits and some of the other claims that have backlogged. Brass Tacks, here on the WhatsApp, I have a couple of people here making the point that, in fact, I'll just read it. Sanka, my sister was sick for 6 weeks and she was not paid sick benefit as a self-employed person. And then this next person is saying, Sanka, when the officer from the NIS was on, she said that self-employed persons were not entitled to sick leave. However, one of you earlier callers misled with a statement to the contrary. I believe this is the reason why the gentleman earlier is expressing concern as to why he was told that they were not paying him. My understanding is that self-employed persons are entitled to other things, but not sick leave, maybe for obvious reasons. What I will do is to get this clarified. I will try to get someone in the air. I don't know if we'll get them before. It's now 1:43, so we only have like 17 minutes to go, but I'll try to get that clarified for you. Go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. How are you?
I'm suffering.
How so? Tell us about it.
Everything. Arthritis. I have to get tablets for thinning up the blood. Everything.
You have no one to go to the polyclinic to get the medication for you?
My son.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that I'm calling about. Yes, planes are running, and they are bringing in testing for the different things. But what I would like to know is, why they suspend the checks from coming from overseas?
What checks are these?
These
are pension checks from overseas?
Yes. They suspend it. Why? Because it's coming by plane, just as the other things. When I called the post office, they said all checks are suspended. Can you give me the reason why?
I can't give the reason, but I would imagine that if the checks were coming via commercial flights, this is commercial flights being passenger flights with passengers on them, because those are not coming, then there'd be no checks. Because it's highly unlikely that they'll be coming via cargo, because there won't be that many checks, because they're not a heavy item. So I suspect that may be the reason why they, everything is suspended.
But it's not a heavy item, that is why they should come.
Yeah, but, ma'am, I understand what you're saying, but if they were coming via commercial flights, and all commercial flights have been suspended, but then the checks can't come because the planes ain't flying.
Oh, my goodness, Chris. 3 months now I haven't got a check.
Oh, dear.
3 months. 3 months. And I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to get my medication, you know, I have to get food, you know, I have to pay bills. And my son is not working because he works in the hospitality place, and he's off over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not getting anything either.
And he put in for unemployment benefits as well, right? Did he?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, dear. There's a lot of pain all around, and that is why when I started the program, I asked about the gradual lifting of restrictions, because it really is necessary now that we have apparently contained this disease to some extent. It's not over, mm-hmm. but we've contained it to some extent
we
actually start opening up the country to get people working again. The hospitality sector is going to be the one that's going to be in the doldrums, because that's for people to come in to be served. But there's some local, you know, industries and manufacturing plants and the stores, and again, the vendors starting to work again. And there's other than fruit and vegetable vendors.
Yeah, but if they have really, the money, really necessary. They'll buy the fruits and vegetables.
But you see, that's it. But the whole point is, because you're buying all these things in US dollars to send out to the thing. But if you're buying from places like within the region, you should have the volume of foreign currency should be available locally for now. Mm-hmm. But we still have to earn foreign currency at the end of the day to survive as a country. We still have to earn it. And this is why it's important that we do this gradual, this phase reopening. It really needs to start.
Yes, hopefully like it will start from
Monday.
Because the money will be spent right back here.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I do commiserate with you. You take good care, and we just can give us an update at some point as to what is happening, okay?
My darling.
Okay. We take another call. You're on the air. It's 1:48.
Mrs. Tanka?
Yes, it is.
Yes. The gentleman was saying they're taking the green paper in March.
Mm-hmm.
I had taken mine since on March 2017 on the 29th. And I haven't received nothing from them to know. All I've been getting is the push around from NIS for the officer that dealing with this thing, with my issue from the area where it was working. Mm-hmm. And this man told me to get my money.
But your issue is a pretty straightforward one, in that the employer clearly has not paid in the money for you. And because of that, that is why your benefits have taken this long. What I think should be happening going forward is that the NIS there must be some way that the NIS could either check up on employers or provide it could be online, where an employee can find out, can log in with their their date of birth, which is their national ID, and find out if how their payments are, if they are up to date or not. There's some system that has to be put in place, because it is unconscionable what is happening, where employees' money is being deducted and not a cent being paid in. It is wrong, it is against the law, and it's been happening. But you know, and this may be taken out of context, as some people always have this idea that you're trying to be political. But the government of Barbados is guilty of this. If you recall, on the last regime, that was one of the problems that they had with the NIS. It was cited by the IMF as a major difficulty, that the government was not paying their contributions. And I remember at the time, because I did an interview with the then Minister of Finance, he made the point that they gave debentures, like bonds, so that in itself was a form of payment for the NIS. But it really had an impact on the cash flow of the NIS at the time. And as we know, when the haircut came in terms of the restructuring, we found that those bonds would have obviously been affected. So it really is not good enough, and government should be setting the right example. So, and the only reason I'm mentioning that is because if government does not do the right thing, then other people will not do the right thing. So hopefully this government will do the right thing. They've started in terms of making sure that they are paying in their contributions, and hopefully they will now get on the case of all the employers and make sure that is done. And as well, as I suggested, put a system in place where employees can go online using their ID number to see if their contributions are up to date based on the deductions that are coming out of their money.
Okay, Mr. Tanker, thank you.
I'm so sorry to hear about your plight, because it cannot be easy. So tell me, how have you been coping with me? Because you're not working at all now, right?
I'm not working because I'm not well either.
Oh, dear. So sorry to hear.
I was to start a job before this COVID-19, but due to that, I can't work because I'm sick and the old lady at the house is sick as well. So it don't make no sense going to work there.
Oh, dear. That's so sad.
And what hurting me most of all is that he's a pastor. And this is what happened, and it's getting me angry every minute.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry to hear about your plight. Look, just leave your... I suspect somebody may want to call, so just leave your number with the producer. Don't put down. And if someone calls and offers any assistance, we will get in contact with you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. Take care. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Hello?
Price.
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
And the reason I'm calling is I heard last week there's a lady or a gentleman, I'm not too sure, who went to sleep with a glass of water. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Now, that's a hard one. I'm not working right now myself. I'm a pensioner. But what I would like to do, I like to know how I can reach you all by giving $100, you know, to help that person in some way, and what I would have to do.
Well, what we would normally do, we would take your name and number off air.
Mm-hmm.
And if that individual does call again,
mm-hmm,
we would then try to make contact with you and just connect you guys up. That's what we try to do.
Okay.
To assist.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
So you said you're a pensioner.
Yes, I am.
So how are you surviving this curfew and your feelings about reopening, a phase reopening?
Well, the feelings, I would like to see things happen, you know, but I'm certainly sure that the government in charge are going to do the right things. I'm coping pretty good. I don't worry at all about anything. What I got, I eat. What I don't have, I don't eat.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful. I'll tell you the truth. I'm very, very thankful.
That's good. All right, just don't go off the line. Just speak to Michelle, and she'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. So we try to take, I think, one last call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I was trying to reach this program for the longest way.
And you're through now, and you have less. You have 4.5 minutes.
So. Yeah, I was calling to get some help from the ministry. Because
which ministry?
But I don't know which one is the ministry, because the last person who spoke to told me that they would get back to me on certain things, because I'm a pensioner and I had nothing in my house since March, from the time the island closed down. I had nothing in my house to go by. I had to wait until I get money to do search. Mm-hmm. But so happens now that I get the money now, I see like bill, water bill and everything coming in for me, and I have no money to do these things. Mm-hmm. So I want to know if there's any way possible that I can get some help. Like, even to pay the light bill, because they're right now in a raise of $400.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no money to deal with these things. Just get the water bill this morning, and it's $128 in raise,
mm-hmm.
saying that it's due to cut off. I don't know what to do, because I'm not working. My two sons that was working, them get laid off now from work, and them ain't working either, so mm-hmm. the money is all going to room.
Yeah. Well, first of all, so there's the mitigation unit that has been set up to help. I don't have a number right now for that, but that was set up to help. And maybe I can get it just before the program closes. There's also the constituency offices. I've been told here that all the constituency offices are open. The MPs are on the ground. They're delivering hampers. So you should also try to get in contact with your constituency office and speak to the MP or or his representative, his or her representative, and try as much as you possibly can to get some assistance there as well. Okay?
Okay. Right now, my cousin, this is the branch of Sanchez Bartra, but I was trying to reach you too, and I couldn't get hold of her neither.
Because
I reached out, my call, they're saying the line, she box is full and they can't get in. Last time I got in, I left a message and she hasn't returned a call.
Well, that's understandable, because she was also working as the acting prime minister. But again, that's where your constituency office comes in, because they would have people there at the constituency offices working around the clock to assist. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things have to become coordinated directly at the constituency office. I know that a lot of us like to hear just the voice of our parliamentary representative, but clearly, you can't have a few thousand people calling you every day. They need people around them to assist them, because they also do full-time job in ministries. So the best thing is to go through the constituency office, okay? And in your particular case, again, I'm going to refer you to the producer. Just leave your name and your number with her, and we'll try to get someone to get in contact with you, because we do receive a number of offers coming through here to assist people. So as long as your name and number is here, we'll try to assist you. All right?
Yeah. Should I leave my number with you?
No. The producer will take it as soon as I finish here with you, which is right now. Just stay on the line and she will talk with you. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Brass Tacks for April the 29th, Wednesday. And just want to remind you that if you want to, Prime Minister Motley will be on CNN at 2 o'clock. She will be speaking with Christian Amapour. So you can also tune into that. Larry will be here until at least 5:30. And he's waiting. Actually, he'll be here to 7 tonight. So he's here waiting impatiently to get in the chair. And I also want to remind those parents who are having trouble with the kids and whatnot, the children at home, just call 535 0798. Also remember that there's a move afoot to get devices into the hands of children who don't have them. So you'll get some bit more information on that later this week as well. On behalf of Michelle Bradford, thank you for being such a lovely audience. God bless and stay safe.